Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're Grant and Danny. Tomorrow, we're out and about, a field trip Friday with listeners in Fairfax at Craft House. Really cool bar restaurant. So come on out, bring the fam for dinner. We're there until 6:30, 2 to 6:30 tomorrow. Field trip with listeners. Haven't been in Fairfax for a while. We're coming back to our roots. We used to have a Fairfax station many, many years ago.
I drove by it not too long ago, and you wouldn't recognize the building.
Show's brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad.
They can do a lot for you. They're exclusively sponsoring us. And they can help you with estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
The college football season's been outstanding. I want to get some insight on some of the local teams and how they're faring. Also, take a look at the national championship picture, the playoff seeding, with our buddy Danny Cannell, who's on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Brought to you by Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, Heisman, and college football week 9 lines. Danny, it's been a minute. Thanks for hopping aboard with us. How are you?
What's up, boys? How we doing? This college football season's been a wild one, man. We got, you know, about 5 or 6 weeks left. I think it's going to be a fun finish down the home stretch, some more wild upsets, and a wide-open college football playoff race. It's been a lot of fun, man. It's great to catch up with you guys again.
You too.
Always good.
I did not think a month or two ago that we would be talking to you today and I'd start with this question, but I've got to. How about the Virginia Cavaliers and Tony Elliott? They are number 16 in the country right now. It's 6-1, 3-0 in the conference. They beat Florida State. They're in Chapel Hill to take on the Fighting Belichicks this week. They're heavy favorites in this game, 10.5 points. Are they legit?
Absolutely, they're legit, especially in the landscape today where there's a couple teams I think are better than everybody else, and that's primarily being Ohio State and Indiana. But a week ago, I would have sit here and told you, I think Miami's in that group, Texas Tech's in that group, and what do those teams do? They lose this past weekend. I mean, winning is such a premium right now. Used to take for granted teams that would run the table, or you'd look at teams, maybe a Virginia, which is sitting there at 6-1, and be like, well, you know, they're maybe fraudulent. They haven't played anybody. If you're this record at this point in the season, you're a really good football team. And if you've positioned yourself to be at the top of the ACC standings, you're a really good football team. And even after that Florida State game, which I, of course, that one gutted me a little bit. It was eerily reminiscent of a game that I actually played in when we lost on Thursday night as the number one team in the country, and Virginia stormed the field after. I looked at that team and I said, that wasn't maybe not so much about Florida State being bad, although now maybe that's the case. But at the time, I was like, man, this Virginia team is legit. And I think the win against Louisville looks even better after you saw what they did to Miami last week, and a schedule that's very, very favorable. I don't think enough people are talking about the Virginia Cavaliers being in the playoffs potentially.
What's been the most, I guess maybe besides Indiana, I know we're going to qualify that, but what's been the most pleasantly surprising thing about this topsy-turvy college football season? And maybe who's been the biggest disappointment to you?
The biggest surprise is like the newcomers, like and the teams that nobody saw coming, like a Virginia, like Louisville, who's also a one-loss team. There's always great stories that kind of develop as you go along and you see these teams kind of come out of nowhere, and the turnaround stories are awesome. So I think those are my favorite part of it. I think the teams that have a chance to make a college football playoff for the first time, those are awesome. I mean, the biggest disappointments are fairly obvious because there's a lot of them, and I think this is something we're going to have to get used to because it's harder to predict college football than ever before with the amount of turnover we see in the transfer portal and it's harder to predict which team is going to continue fighting once they're out of that college football playoff race. But I had Penn State picked to win the national championship with all that they had returning, with all that they had coming back. They had a quarterback who was a multi-year starter. They were bringing back both running backs and Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. They went out and got the best defensive coordinator in the game from the Ohio State Buckeyes, who just won the national championship, in Jim Knowles. And they come out and they lose three games in a row, now four. And they, you know, losing to Oregon was one thing, but then you lose back-to-back games as three touchdown underdogs. I think that's by far and away the biggest disappointment. But right behind them, the Clemson Tigers, another team I picked to win the ACC. I think they're not that far behind them. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't personally disappointed in what's happened to Florida State, especially after the expectations were reset after they beat Alabama week one. There's been a lot of disappointing stories, but I think it's very clear the number one, is the biggest disappointment, is the Penn State Nittany Lions.
I got one more local question for Danny Cannell joining us via Bet Online, and then we'll hop to some of the big games of the weekend and national stories. Maryland, they did the normal thing that they always do. They get off to the big start out of conference, beat up on, you know, Howard and whoever else they played, and everyone's like, see, I told you, it's finally happening. And now they've lost three games in a row. They collapsed against Washington in the fourth quarter. They lost to Nebraska in a squeaker. And then the real disappointing one here recently was UCLA last weekend. Their freshman quarterback's incredible. Like, I really like the kid. I don't know if they'll be able to keep him or not. I hope they can. What's your take on the state of the Terps?
Oh, man. If I was going to be bluntly obvious, just brutally honest, I would just say they are what they are. You know, it's a team that can be competitive to make bowl games, that can beat the non-conference games, that might be able to pull off an upset or two. But until they make more of a significant commitment to the NIL game, like Indiana did, you know, like an Arizona State did, like programs that were okay and then went to all of a sudden being really good. Vanderbilt is another really good example. And they make a commitment to making an atmosphere that's really strong, like that Nashville has done. I see them as a team that probably, a buddy of mine that I work with named Bud Elliott in the Cover 3 podcast, he said somebody's got to collect the checks. And what he means by that is with these big TV contracts, especially with the Big Ten and SEC, like not everybody can win. And unfortunately, there's going to be some programs that you're in the conference and you just collect the checks and you don't see yourself as very competitive. And unfortunately, I think that's the reality with Maryland right now. And until they get more serious about it and give them the support they need and try to build up, you know, a roster that can be competitive with the top tier teams, then I think it's kind of the reality of what Maryland is right now. I like Mike Locksley a lot. You're right. I think their QB is a, you know, potential stud. But what happens after this season? Because guess what? Teams are going to come knocking for them. They're going to come kicking the tires saying, hey, whatever Maryland's paying you, we'll probably double it. You know, and will Maryland match? Probably not. It's just a reality of where Maryland is right now. And I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to see Maryland get competitive. It's a great market. I've called games there before. I just think that's the reality of the current situation at Maryland.
Danny Cannell with us here on G&E, breaking down the college football slate. Let's go to this weekend. It doesn't get easier for Ole Miss. I thought that Georgia game was awesome. I wasn't sure I was going to win it until, you know, the very end. Obviously, Georgia pulls it out, but no weeks off. You got Oklahoma this week. I feel like this is obviously, they're all big games when you're up at the top like they are, Danny, but they could drop out and all of a sudden maybe miss the playoff, it feels like, if they drop this one to Oklahoma. How
and
do you see
dogs,
it?
By the way.
And they're underdogs,
5.5 points.
Yeah, so this, I totally agree with you. I think this is a sort of a play-in game for Ole Miss, because if they do win this game, I think the most likely scenario with the remaining schedule after this one, they'll probably be favored against the remaining opponents, and they could probably slip up and they could be 10-2. But most likely, if they win this game, they'll probably be 11-1, and they're a lock. An SEC team at 11-1 is a lock. But I think Ole Miss is one that's not a lock at 10-2, especially if they lose this game, because the question will then be, who is your biggest win? Because they would have beaten a lot of average teams in the SEC. Their SEC schedule isn't as tough as some of the other ones. And the one thing Ole Miss did not do that some teams did is schedule a tough non-conference opponent. Their non-conference schedule is pretty lucky, you know, pretty easy, a couple pushovers, four of them. And so they don't really have that signature win. And that's where I think it's a realistic question that people would ask. Now, they're an SEC brand. We know how the the, you know, ESPN and the selection committee feel about, you know, brands in the SEC and teams in the SEC, I think they'd be in the conversation at 10-2. But if they lose this weekend, I think it gets really dicey. On the flip side, if they win this one, they have a letdown versus the other ones. At least they can say, well, we beat a top 25 Oklahoma team on the road. So I think this game is huge for Ole Miss. And, oh, by the way, it's huge for Oklahoma because their schedule gets a lot tougher after this game. Like, it's going to be brutal for them. And to throw a little salt in this rivalry here, this little mini rivalry, Lane Kiffin accused Brent Venables of stealing signals early this week. Now, he did it in a very passive-aggressive way because he said, boy, when I watch film of Oklahoma, it sure looks like they do a great job of scouting signals so much it almost looks like they know what's coming. You know, he kind of alluded to it with a little tongue-in-cheek. And I tell you, I bet that was not received well by Brent Venables. So there's a little extra going in this game. I kind of like Oklahoma in this game. Their defense is really good. It's another road game for Ole Miss. I also wonder if Lane Kiffin's maybe a little bit distracted by a lot of the conversation that's been going on with him potentially leaving to go to the Florida Gators to take that job opening. I think this game is one that Oklahoma could assert its dominance, especially on the offensive and defensive lines.
Danny Cannell, Bet Online, betonline.ag for updated college football playoff Heisman and college football week 9 lines. So, Danny, quick two-parter here then. Number one, Texas A&M is 2.5-point favorites at number 20 LSU, so that's 3 against 20, two top 20 teams. The Tigers lose a third game. It's kind of what Danny was just talking about. They're 2-2 in the conference. Like, where do we go from there if it's an LSU team that has three losses? Can they get in? And then secondly, and both of our last two questions are related here, when we expand the field next year, do these games right now matter less? Because we're saying, could they still get in? Like, if there's a bigger field, does this loss matter for these teams? Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. And I totally agree with you. So I was, for the past, pretty much since I've gotten into broadcasting about 15 years ago, because I got in with the BCS and I pounded the table. I wanted more access, more teams. And we went to 4. And I said, all right, that's good, but I want more. And then we skipped right past 8 and we went to 12.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's great. And I thought last year was incredible for exactly what you're talking about. Remember, a couple 9-3 teams were really upset. Ole Miss was one of them, but they lost at home to Kentucky. Alabama was extremely upset, but they lost to Vanderbilt and they lost at Oklahoma. Like, at games they were favored and should have won, but they got left out. You are 1,000% right. If we go to 16, a lot of those games won't matter. So as somebody who was pounding the table for expansion, now I'm doing the opposite. I'm saying, can we please stop expanding so quickly? Let's give this 12 team, you know, a little time to breathe. Let's see how it works out. They already reworked it so you have the seating fixed, so you don't have the, you know, the automatic bye for just the conference champions. Now it'll be the highest ranked teams. And I think that's a nice little tweak. And I think this really does preserve the regular season so that it matters exactly like the games we're talking about. Because I do think it'll dilute the regular season, which is something I think makes college football special. So you are 1,000% right, and it's a big reason why I'm trying to prevent it from happening, although I don't know if my voice matters that much. I really think it's been highly successful, and I worry that fans become a little bit disinterested in the regular season. If you go to 16, all of a sudden you're just glossing over losses, saying, well, we'll still be fine for the postseason. I do not think that'll be a good thing for the sport.
How real a national championship threat is Oregon?
I think they're real. So, like, here's the thing. This is kind of goes where I got to be real careful. And I'm trying to remind everybody, like, we're seeing teams lose one game, and all of a sudden it's, oh, they weren't as good as we thought they were. But a couple weeks ago, before Oregon played against Indiana, I thought they were an elite team. Most everybody you heard talking about college football thought they were an elite team. The Miami Hurricanes are another one. Everyone's like, oh, they look different. They got dudes. You know, we hear that all the time. And guess what? They do. And so I keep thinking back to years past. You know, I think back that far to just last year when Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois early in the season. And I was like, oh, they stink. They lost to a MAC team. They're not going to make the playoffs, so let alone make the playoffs. They're awful. They can't beat anybody. And what do? They run, you know, off 9-10 wins in a row, and they go to the college football playoff. Not only get there, they make it all the way to the national championship game. Last year, Ohio State, they lost on the road at Oregon. That was a highly competitive game. It was a tough loss. I don't think anybody changed their view of them. But do you guys remember the conversation when they lost to Michigan? Ryan Day's got to go. He can't win the big one. He's got to go. And he had to wait for 3 weeks to sit on that. And they had to ask the athletic director for a statement of support. Like, it was that serious. And everybody's like, oh, Ohio State, they can't be that good. They get hot, and they have the talent, and they win the national championship. I still think that teams like Oregon, I still think Miami, I probably would throw Alabama after they lost to Florida State. I think they can still win a national championship. That game feels like a long time ago because it was. Texas Tech just lost. People like them a week ago. I'm not going to be so reactionary to think that teams that we thought were good enough to win it just a week or two ago all of a sudden are garbage. No, let's see how they rebound and the potential, the talent is still on those rosters. So I know I gave you a bunch of teams, but I still think Oregon is absolutely a team that has the roster to potentially win a national title.
How about let's look at the Heisman race for a second. Right now, Fernando Mendoza's become the favorite, the Indiana quarterback, Ty Simpson, Julian Sain of Ohio State. So you got some of the powers with Alabama represented up there as well. How do you see the Heisman race going? And is Mendoza right now in the running to be the top quarterback off the board in the draft?
Yes. He's a special talent. You know, I didn't see him. I was actually just went and found like my preseason top 10 for quarterbacks coming in. I didn't have him on there. I don't think many people had him on. Sort of an unknown. The one take that I did have that I think was accurate is I thought he would be an upgrade over the quarterback that Indiana had last year. And that's not a knock to Curtis Wark. I just watched Fernando Mendoza last year at Cal. I thought he had a lot of raw ability. He can scramble. He's got a gorgeous, he's got a great arm. So I thought he would be an upgrade. And then it's a testament to Kirk Cignetti and the Indiana staff to put him in these positions to succeed. And then he's totally run away with it. And all of a sudden, he just looks like he's the very clear top cut NFL quarterback from that perspective. And also, I think for Indiana, so I think that it's kind of becoming like what it usually does too, is the last man standing. Like, you're seeing contenders. While I might think Miami can win the national championship, Carson Beck lost the Heisman in that game against Louisville. Like, I don't think you bounce back from a 4-interception performance, in a loss for your team. I think he's out. I think Diego Pavia is somebody who, if he continues to win, it's a fun story, but I don't think he can hold it off. I don't think Vanderbilt's going to run the table. So I think you have to look at a couple guys. Ty Simpson, who's a current leader, he's awesome. Is he able to kind of hold serve, not slip up, and not lose the game? That's going to be tricky. Mendoza, I think he's probably got the best chance to do that, to kind of hold serve, not lose a game, potentially run the table, and then be that guy that has a resonating performance in the Big Ten title. But I'm going to tell you another name to keep an eye on, and it's the player that he could be playing against in the Big Ten championship game. I just saw Julian Sain in person. I was out in Wisconsin for that game. And while him and Jeremiah Smith, his wide receiver, they were neck and neck. I think it was 13-1 and 14-1 in the Heisman odds. Well, all of a sudden, after a 4-touchdown performance, Julian Sain has kind of leapt to the front. And I don't think Ohio State's going to stumble. And I think you could see the winner of the Big Ten championship game be that last resonating Heisman performance. It's the night before the votes get submitted. I think it could be either Julian Sain or Fernando Mendoza. Because I think Ty Simpson might have a stumble. He's guaranteed, I think, to be in New York. But I think the winner of that Big Ten championship game will probably be it. And Jeremiah Smith, as good as he's been, defense kind of figured out, let's just not give him the big play. They're doubling him, which is why Carnell Tate, their other receiver, has been balling. But that's allowed Julian Sain to kind of cop up in that conversation. I think it's probably the quarterback of whatever team wins the Big Ten.
Danny, awesome as always, dude. Great to catch up with you. Enjoy the weekend.
Oh, you guys are the best. Always great catching up. We'll see you.
Yeah, enjoy the college weekend. You see why we love having Danny Cannell on the show. Great information. Via Bet Online, you can check their odds right now for the college football playoff, the Heisman, college football week 9 as well. Some good games. One game we didn't really get much into, but it's amazing what's happened with this program. Vanderbilt, number 10 in the country, hosting number 15 Missouri, and they're 2.5-point favorites.
I've not seen much of Missouri this year, by the way.
Just me either.
It's not on my radar. I mean, they're good, obviously. They just sort of hang around while everyone else is kind of going up and down and losing.
I watched them play Alabama. Like, offensively, they can scoot. They can get up and down the field. But this Vanderbilt team, with Pavia at quarterback, what that coach has done who played there, that's one of the all-time, like, how did this happen program stories.
It's so cool. I mean, them in Indiana. I mean, if it weren't for Indiana, like, that would be the story. Going back-to-back years where they're frisky in the SEC, where they're usually just the doormat, and now they're, as you said, a top-10 team, a playoff team, if things continue. And they're favored this weekend against Missouri.
Indiana feels sustainable. This will be a slight, I guess, to Vanderbilt, but that one feels more like a Pavia creation in a sense, where like when he leaves, you take a step back.
Yep.
Indiana's now done it with two quarterbacks over 2 years.
It's true.
Cignetti, I think, has got a little something cooking there.
You can Google him.
He wins. Grant and Danny on the Fan. There's been a weird discourse in town about Jaden Daniels and Robert Griffin and the juxtaposition of the two and people that are reminded of Griffin by Daniels, something we've kind of avoided. I want to explain why I'm avoiding it, but also try to figure out what people are even saying when they link them together. We're going to do that next on G&D.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We will take you up to 6:30 tonight. We'll get you ready for Thursday night football. Vikings-Chargers kicking off week 8, little cross-conference matchup between two hungry teams with 3 losses through 7 weeks of NFL football. Danny, I wanted to get into this discourse on Robert Griffin III and Jaden Daniels and similarities between the two. This conversation, all of our football discussion on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus, you can't count on much. But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So this has kind of been mostly off my radar. But I guess, especially on like Commanders Twitter, if that's a thing, there's like this infighting happening now where with every Jaden Daniels injury, obviously people are going to bring up Robert Griffin because he was this quarterback who was a superstar and then he got hurt. And so there's the fear that the last time you were this excited about this amazing number 2 overall pick who won the Rookie of the Year, he got hurt. And I guess that's where the comparison comes in every time Jaden Daniels is limping or banged up. But then there's people that get so upset about it that they're very different, which they are, that the situations are very different, which they are. And I'm more on this side. I don't get upset or bothered about it, but I don't think the two are analogous really at all. I think the building was toxic and awful back then. And there were a lot of reasons why the Robert Griffin thing went sideways beyond just his health. None, the least of which I would point out, too, Griffin had a very serious, severe, maybe career-altering injury. Daniels has not had one of those. But it kind of all came to a head this weekend when his mom tweeted about it. Did you see what Jaden's mom tweeted, Regina Jackson?
I did.
It was something to the effect of, stop manifesting these injuries on my son. by saying he's Robert Griffin. And I'll find the exact quote so that I can read it so that I perfectly quote her. But that was the gist of it. Like, she brought up this topic that's clearly bothering her. So it's now at a point where it's like, okay, I've kind of avoided talking about this. I think it's the whole thing's kind of dumb. But now if the quarterback's mom thinks this is a big deal and a story and she's tweeting about it, well, okay, now I'm going to have to weigh in on this. So the quote, I got it here. I wish you would stop manifesting RG3 on my son. Words are powerful, and that's all that's talked about. So before we get into the bigger picture here, what does this tweet mean exactly? I think she's essentially saying that words, like, my mom's a big Laws of Attraction fan. You know about this?
Is that the same as The Secret
kind of
deal?
I think it is. Yeah, it's the same deal. And it's like, what you say matters. I'm taking this tweet to mean she's saying Daniels has been hurt 2 times this year, partially because all these people are fearing that he's going to get hurt and he's going to be Robert Griffin. And so by putting that negativity out into the world, it's leading to these things. That's how I took the tweet. I don't know if that's what she meant or not.
Okay.
How did you take the tweet?
Like that. Like, I happen to, again, I don't know her personally at all, and God bless whatever drives you, motivates you, or gets you out of bed. I think that's the dumbest thing in the world. The, like, if I'm going, hey, he's been injured a couple times, I'm concerned about that going forward. I'm not manifesting anything.
Idea of manifesting. Like, he got hurt in the Packers game because he got tackled in the he broke a rib, not because you thought, oh no, this guy might get hurt, but because someone landed on him.
Yeah, like, I love him so much, I think he's incredible, and wanted them to draft him. Did I manifest that? No, they did some scouting and did some evaluation and figured out that he's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Anyway, so that's how I took it, though. Is like, stop comparing my son to this oft-injured quarterback because your dreams didn't come true, you know, and then the next level is this manifesting nonsense.
And I do understand why she, as a mom, would be annoyed by that. I'll bet my mom would be upset if I was Jaden Daniels and every single time anything happened where, like, I come off the field because I got kicked in the, you know, the bad area, or if I come off the field because I lost my wind. You see 10,000 people saying, oh, no, here we go again. He's hurt. It's Robert Griffin. I get her annoyance or bristling or vexing at that, but that's kind of where it begins and ends for me. The manifestation thing, like the idea that because people are talking about him getting hurt, he's going to get hurt. I think that's just absurd. I don't even need to get into that. Like, that's not how the world works necessarily, if that's what she meant by the tweet. But what do you make of the discourse here of people like my neighbor today, walking her dog? She stops me. I'm throwing the football to my son. And she's like, what do you think of Jaden? Is he going to, you know, play? And I'm like, no, he's been ruled out. And she said something to the effect of, I hope he's not Robert Griffin again, all over again. And, like, that was just the first thing she said.
Yeah.
Now, she's a football fan. She went on to talk about Terry coming back. She's following it all. But I think that is something that a lot of people keep throwing out there. And I wonder, what do they mean by it? What are they referencing?
So who am I talking about? Hyper-popular Heisman-winning quarterback drafted second overall to a previously moribund franchise that has great success and makes the team popular and sells a lot of jerseys and has a lot of public interest. Makes the team, for at least a short time, the cool team, where the expectations entering year two are astronomical. Who am I talking about? Could be either one of them. That's the point. Everybody wants to put their fingers in their ears and pretend there aren't similarities because they're different players, and Jaden Daniels is a more complete passer than Art Griffin ever was, and the comparison between the two is night and day. But you're missing the point. The point is, you don't have to go searching with a microphone glass or a microscope or a magnifying glass or the X-ray vision goggles they were allegedly using to figure out what cards were what at these mafia card games to see the easy and obvious comparable similarities that just occurred 12 years ago, where the franchise has been terrible, new regime comes in, you draft the superstar Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. Griffin's on the Tonight Show wearing socks, doing bits, plays out of his mind as a rookie. Then there's the Willie, won't he? Is he in? Is he out? Am I on for this? Am I on for that? What week am I coming back? The mystery surrounding knee injuries, little nicks, little this, little that. This concussion, he's out for a week. He's not. It's a knee sprain. What kind of sprain is it? We don't know. He'll be okay. He'll wear a brace. How big is the brace? We've done all of this. The comparisons are easy and obvious. And I understand the people that bristle because you don't want to hear about it. Or you are aware that Daniels is a different player with way different skill sets that also happen to include elite athleticism, but the throwing talent's different. Everybody wants to pretend there's no point of comparison at all, and they get offended by it. When the rest of us can go, yeah, there's a lot of parallels that I get fans are doing.
A ton of parallels. Yeah. I guess what I'm talking about is the injury part of this, which I don't really see where it's analogous necessarily. Or, you know, when people say something to the effect of, well, this is just going to end exactly how the Robert Griffin thing did. You know, he's just going to get hurt or whatever. Because he broke his rib last year, or because he had this very minor knee injury comparative to Griffin earlier in the year, or now it's this thing. If he had torn his ACL or something terrible, I guess I could get behind some type of comparison there. But the issue I have is how flawed it is to like act like, and this is something fans have always gotten wrong, in my opinion, about Griffin, that if not for that injury, he would have just ascended like an airplane into the air and still would be Mahomes here or something. Like that was a rotten situation internally that was going badly with or without that injury.
Right, but 99% of the populace doesn't really know that to that extent.
But that's my point. And so when they talk about like comparing the two and how it went sideways and how it's going to go badly, I guess I'm going, everything about that organization was set up for not for him to fail, but to make it working between Griffin and the coaching staff hard.
Mm-hmm.
The way the owner treated him, the way the owner ran everything, it was all bad. So nothing will replicate what happened there because you have a real owner, because you have a real front office, because you have a less toxic place, because the whole organization is different. That's where I don't get frustrated. I guess I don't care either way, but that's where I've never really gotten it. But if it's as simple as both of them won the Heisman, both of them were drafted number two overall, both of them were amazing as rookies, and if one of them gets an injury, it's just like the other one. Sure, I guess. I guess I don't know why that's what's controversial about that.
Well, nothing controversial, but well, for some it is, I suppose. But both represented in real time the first real hope, the first real reason to hope in forever. Now, after the fact, anybody that was willing to listen learned what was going on before. But in real time, we didn't know that. In real time, we don't know about these plays are unacceptable. We didn't know about I want to run the offense that Kirk ran against Cleveland and whatever. Nobody knew that kind of stuff. I mean, people as plugged in as you were professionally knew that. That's a you could count those people on one hand. The rest of the populace is going, oh my God, for the first time in forever, I'm getting texts from division rival fans telling me they're jealous of me. For the first time in forever, I've been a joke for decades. The first thing they've gotten right is this dude, and then it gets ripped away. Everyone's afraid of that happening again. I think that's incredibly reasonable. I am. You have a tall, lean, athletic freak that's very pliable, that gets folded up and takes these incredibly awkward hits but bounces right back up until he doesn't. You had the minor injuries with, you know, knee sprains around a similar time frame. The ACL, the catastrophic one, of course, that changed a lot of things, hasn't happened. Knock on wood. I certainly hope that doesn't. But to me, there's so many easy and obvious parallels. And I will tell you that as, just given my spot, every friend I talk to casually about it, you know, like a buddy was in town who you met the other day, doesn't follow football that closely. He's lived abroad for a while. Lives in Denver, like outside of Denver. And he's like, dude, so this guy gets hurt all the time. Is it like Griffin again? That's the first thing off everybody's
of
lips.
Of course.
I said
my neighbor today was like, is this just Robert Griffin all over again?
Yeah.
It's what everybody is saying. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm caring too much about the nuance of it. Where I'm going, no, not at all. Robert Griffin tore everything in his knee, and that's a career altering, shifting injury. Oh, by the way, for a guy that I don't think was anywhere near this player's level as a passer. Traditionally, if he just stopped running or what have you. I think a lot of what happened in 2012 was scheme. Griffin was also amazing. I mean, he ripped off a near 80-yard touchdown run against the Vikings. We've never seen Jaden Daniels do that as an example. I'm not sitting here pretending like Griffin wasn't unbelievably talented. I remember thinking he was going to win MVP awards after 2012 when he had one of the great rookie years ever.
Yep.
But I guess I'm diving way too deep into the nuance, and you're saying people are just saying it's similar because their resumes look a lot alike. That's kind of what your point is.
Yeah, sets the league on fire. Team was terrible. He arrives. Now they're not terrible. They won the division in year one. Go to the NFC Championship in year one for Daniels. Then you get, you know, some sort of knee injury. It's very nebulous. No one's really sure what it is. A knee brace is worn. Timetables for when people are coming back. Think, you know, Griffin against Baltimore, then has to wear the brace, then what's the extent of the injury? Again, everybody sees a lot of parallels and a lot of similar beats to the timetable of it, and this year's not going real well. So you can kind of, we've done this before. I did this, you know what I mean? Like, this is a rerun. I don't want it to end the same way.
What do you guys think of the dialogue on Daniels reminding people of Griffin? That's the question for you at 800-636-1067, and we'll take some calls on this. 800-636-1067. Also, as I said, I kind of just would hear this and keep it moving and not really think much about it until it became a pretty big deal and more popular,
man.
When the mother of the quarterback tweeted out that people are manifesting Robert Griffin on her son. Words are powerful. That's all that's talked about. And I took that to mean she's saying he's getting hurt because you guys keep saying he's going to be Robert Griffin and he's getting hurt. Again, I don't agree with the manifestation thing. It's just not something that I think is how injuries are happening. I think it's probably more medical and having to do with the tackles and the big bodies and the big speeds that are landing on him. But what did you make of that? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on G&D.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jaden Daniels set to miss a third game out of eight Monday night in Kansas City. We're discussing the perception of you know, people fearing and talking about and comparing Robert Griffin anytime Jaden Daniels' injuries come up and how you feel about that. 800-636-1067 is the number. His mom is even now weighed in on social media saying that people are manifesting injuries on him by constantly comparing him to the former number two overall pick and Heisman Trophy winner who took the league by storm and took Washington to the playoffs in his first season. You know, a lot of the things that Daniels had done, they're obviously very, very different people, players in the locker room. There's just, it's night and day in terms of kind of what you hear about, you know, how things are going in the building now versus then with the quarterback. Let's go to Chris and Calvert on G&D. What's up, Chris?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I think for the fan base, it's really about the fear. It's not really like that they're the same person. I think they have completely different personalities. But it's the fear of going through that disappointment of 2012. Like, I was at that playoff game in Seattle when RG3 tore his knee up. And that game itself was a microcosm of RG3's stint here. We were up 14-0. Everything was going great. And then he tears his knee. We end up losing. And then we had to deal with the, you know, no pressure, no diamonds, all in for week one. And it's just that fear of going through that again. I mean, I have an RG3 signed helmet in my basement that I now keep turned around so you don't see the signature on that. You know, I think a lot of people are worried that are they going to have to turn around their JD5 helmet, you know, in a couple years because they don't want to have to remember the pain of that moment. So I really think it's about the fear of going through that emotion again.
It's a great call. Yep. It's the anxiety of you found the quarterback.
Like, I thought I had a savior.
It was over.
I thought I had
one. You did it. You know what I mean? Like, you went to one of those the rooms you've got to, like, solve the riddles to get out of. What do they call
those? Escape the room.
Escape rooms. And you thought you were out, but you weren't. The next time you do the exact same thing and you think you're out, you might wonder, when I open this door, am I just back in another room? So I get that. The last time it was this good, this promising with a young quarterback, the carpet got pulled out.
Yeah, I mean, it broke me as a fan.
I think a lot of people have never been the same.
I've never been the same
as fans since. Carter in D.C., you're on G&D. What's up?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Danny. How are you all today?
Good, buddy.
Yes, Danny, it is that Carter. We played in the same baseball program at a certain school in Washington, and I just want to weigh in on sort of the shade I think you're throwing at Jaden's mom.
Okay.
So here's my take. You and I played in the same baseball program.
Is that St. Albans?
The same head coach or not. It may have been. I didn't want to pimp it. Yes.
All right. Do you know this person,
Danny? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you're looking at the phone really weird. All right. Go ahead, Carter.
So my point is this. I sent my son to that same school. When my son was a 5'5" freshman, he was barely playing on JV when he was the best baseball player, arguably in the entire school, but certainly in the top five. And I had to have a discussion with the coach about, hey, do I need to find a new school for my son? Because he's a pretty good baseball player. I'm not sure why he's not playing on the JV. The JV coach then disappeared, and my son ended up playing varsity as a freshman and was on the field when we beat that small school from North Rockville to win an IAC championship. My point is this. Parents are going to advocate for their kids, and I trust that you will do the exact same thing if your child is being treated in the manner in which Jaden is being treated, in the sense that people are manifesting this fear of, oh, God, we're doing this all over again. That's my take. I will listen. I hope you both are well.
Thanks,
appreciate
buddy.
You, Carter. Yeah, so I don't think I'm throwing shade at anybody, but if people want to interpret that way, that's your call. Whatever, I don't begrudge, whatever motivates you to do good, do good. You know, be the best parent you can, be the best person you can. Whatever your reason for getting out of bed and acting right, God bless you. I don't care if it's religion, if it's internal drive, if it's competitiveness, even if it's selfish, do good things, good with me. My point is, I think it happens to be nonsense, but it's not me. I'm not saying don't.
Idea that someone manifests an injury.
In either direction. Like, yeah. I didn't manifest him coming here. They scouted him very well. Like, I wanted him. I love the player, and I think he's a superstar. My fear of something bad happening to him isn't me putting him down by any stretch of the imagination.
The stupidity of you can't say a no-hitter's happening because then the no-hitter gets blown. Like, it's the same thing you're talking about, really, right? Like, if you talk about an injury could happen.
Yeah, I'm saying he's been hurt a few times. I'm worried that this is a track record thing. I love the kid. I'm an advocate for him. I think he's a superstar, and I'm so glad he's here. There's no putting anybody down in that regard, as far as I'm concerned. But you know.
At its core, I think what you have is basically the fear, probably. That people, you know, that exists for people that he gets hurt again or whatever. But I think we just have a debate of, with his mom tweeting about the manifestation, I guess just do you even believe that that's a thing? I mean, that's up for interpretation, right? Like, the idea of the words mattering and him getting hurt off of that, you don't. She clearly does.
Right. And
I don't think that's shade.
Yes. And again, do whatever motivates you. God bless you. Do it. She's advocating for her son. I don't begrudge that part of it at all. I happen to disagree with her larger, if the point is the pudgy idiot on the radio that's worried about my son getting hurt is making him get hurt, I'll disagree with that until I'm cold and dead in the ground.
Right.
I love him too. I not as much as you, probably, you're his mom, but I love this kid. I wanted him drafted here. I'm thrilled he's here. I want to make sure that he's healthy, and I want him to play for 17 games a week for the rest of my natural life. I love him. And what where's the negative part there?
And I get the similarities. I just think when we're talking about this, like, Jaden and Robert discourse, people act like every time he gets hurt, See, his career is never going to be the same, just like Roberts. And I'm like, eh. A hamstring that could keep him out a week is not the same as the LCL, the ACL, the PCL, all the CLs. This is not quite the same. What do you make of that dialogue is the question on Grant and Danny. 800-636-1067. Also want to squeeze in a convo with Joe Maloney of the American Gaming Association. Huge, huge story today out of the NBA that some coaches and players have been arrested in an ongoing investigation into gambling on games, but also a fixed movie-like poker tournament that was taking place in various locations. You're listening to The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.